Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Good morning. Hey, Doug Sinceri, Albert Nico, your weekend lawyers, all things legal. You can give us a call at 260-1870 or text us at 870-870. And, well, we don't have the text up yet. We got Albert Nico this morning. Good morning, Albert.
Good morning, Doug.
We got Doug
Sinceri this morning, too.
That's right, man. Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day to you.
Thank you.
Yeah, We were very, very fortunate. Had two wonderful fathers. Your dad, for you, still alive. Mine died long, long ago, but still think about him all the time, and directly responsible for who I am. And
Yes. Hey, amen. Well, that's what, dads are important, I hear. That's good.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And we have, I wanted to wish my dad happy Father's Day. My brother Dean, he's a good dad, and my brother-in-law Polly. So, what's going on at the Nico household today for our Father's
Actually
Day?
Going across the street. I snuck out Friday for a little while and went down to Delacroix with Lance Lashardi. Lance was actually a guest on our show one time. He's the assistant district attorney down in St. Bernard Parish. But he and I went down and picked up some crabs from the dock. And I've been keeping them on ice, so we're going to boil those today at the neighbors across the street.
Neighbors? Not the one directly across the street?
My classmate
from DeLaSalle. Greg Talbert. Yes. Yeah. All right.
Greg Talbert. So we're going over to Talbert's, and hopefully we'll be inside because I understand it's going to be a little steamy today.
Yeah. Well, good. Yes, I get to, on Father's
Which
Day.
Y'all
I get
up
to. Oh, we're just having a little gathering here. I get to wear my favorite Hawaiian shirt. See, I got four girls who aren't Hawaiian shirt fans, so I wear that and I just hang out and eat a lot and I guess normally eat a lot and just enjoy the day, you know. But yes. So I was listening to Mike D'Attelier the other day and I turned it was just very refreshing to turn on the radio and hear football and Mike breaking down the LSU football season. I know LSU, first of all, I think it's 76 days to opening day, and I know certain people are concerned about the coronavirus because some of the players have it. They're young and healthy. They'll be fine. So, they'll be fine, and actually, the immunity will build up, and we're going to be ready to go in a full stadium in 76 days. But it was great to hear Mike just break down the year, because I was like, man, some normalcy here, just normalcy.
Exactly.
And so he was talking.
You know what, we were talking, I went to dinner with some friends Friday night, and we were talking about the dreaded new normal, right, and how, just if you recall after Katrina, there were just things we did differently. And because of what happened or what those circumstances were or what happened to our homes and neighborhoods and whatever else. And and she was saying, I think that the same thing is going to be true after this virus, that there is going to be a new normal, that maybe the plastic screens are going to stay up between the counter and the customer, and the, you know, just moving forward. And I think we're going to see some differences in this new normal, and not the immediate new normal. I'm talking about the new normal in the future. I would think there's going to be some changes that stick around.
And, well,
it is what it is. It's part of life, and we evolve, and we adapt.
I think in a business sense, a lot more people will be Zooming rather than doing business travel, which is not bad. And in our profession, a lot of routine maybe conferences with the judge that normally you'd have to jump in a car and go and, you know, maybe, you know, wait a half an hour before you get your turn. I think those will be by Zoom conference, which I think is good. It saves time. So, I like the good aspects of it, but I do not like people afraid to live, and just living in fear and living, you know, I can't ever do this, I can't do that, I have to stay in my house, I can't, you know, because that's no way to live. And, you know, even though there's certain maybe entities, want to scare the daylights out of everyone and convince them the best thing they do is to cower under a blanket and in a fetal position and just, you know, just whine. You know, you got to go out there and live. Now, be smart, be thoughtful, you know, be thoughtful of the person, but you got to go out there and live, you know? I mean, you know, we've got football season coming up. We got a new year. And one of the things I would like for people in leadership to start talking about is how are we going to make our comeback? How are we going to prepare to get back to what we were before? How is New Orleans going to be, you know, what plans do we have in place to bring people back to New Orleans, to bring tourism back, to bring, you know, to bring New Orleans back to what it could be? And, you know, I'm hearing crickets right now on those issues. I'm just, you know, I just keep hearing the bad news, bad news, bad news. And, you know, what are we going to do when that day comes? What are we going to do what's the plan here? What's the plan to get New Orleans back working? What's the plan to get the restaurants back on? What's the plan to get the tourists back?
Yeah, unfortunately, you've got politicians making the call. And politicians have a self-interest, and the self-interest usually is getting elected. And so, getting reelected. And so they don't want this scar on their record or this blemish on their record that, oh, they screwed it up, they opened too early, or they screwed it up, they kept us closed too long. And so it's a tough position for them to be in, but I think they're all going to err on the side of caution and not open things. Now, you know, one theory is that, you know, if you keep it closed long enough, then the extra bump in workers' compensation, not workers' compensation, but in unemployment is going to end on July 31st. And so if you keep it closed long enough, then people can make more money staying home than going to work. I hear this from every restaurant owner that I talk to. They tell me they can't find people to come back to work.
Right,
and they
right.
bumped it up to 50%. That, you know, there right. was a sign right in front of St. Catherine's Church that I think it was the Boulevard or whatever, the restaurant, was paying $20 an hour for kitchen help.
Well, there
and
you
so,
go.
Cause just to get employees back there to work because they're not – they'd rather stay home. They're making an extra $600 – wait, an extra – $600 per week to stay home.
All right, look, we got to go to a break.
Stay home.
Yeah, we got to go. I hear the music. Got to go to a break. Doug Cinceri, Albert Nico, your weekend lawyers, all things legal. We'll be right back after this brief timeout. 260-1870. Hey, we're back. Doug Cinceri, Albert Nico, your weekend lawyers, all things legal. And as you know, I will start the countdown for LSU football. 76 days to opening day. And like I said, we had some. I love the normalcy because that's where we got to get back to what we do, and without fear. And one of the things Mike Dettillier was talking about was LSU. And, you know, one of the things that we're at now is LSU football, much like Alabama was the last 15 years, is when you have 16, we had 17 players go to pros this year, and maybe more, that you don't rebuild, you reload. And so one of the things I think Mike was talking about, everything's strong. The only question marks is quarterback and offensive line, where we lost four out of five. So only 76 days to LSU football, and we're playing LSU football in a packed house. That's where I'm going, assuming until I hear otherwise. But Albert, I heard your commercial during the break, and it was about power of attorneys. It's about power of attorneys, and you know, one of the things that I think this last 3 months, power of attorneys, the need for them have been highlighted. Based on some of the interesting and different circumstances we had for the last 3 months. And it, just like your commercial said, you know, you had a situation where you couldn't get in and actually do the power of attorney, causing, you know, sort of complications.
Well, it actually happened. The client called and said, yeah, my mom's in the nursing home. And I'm like, well, they're not letting people in. I mean, they wouldn't let him in, the visitor. They're certainly not going to let me in, whether they took my temperature or otherwise. Since then, a lady heard the commercial spot, and she has a mom in a nursing home, and she's like, well, you travel to a nursing home to sign a power of attorney? I said, yes, we'll be happy to do that. I said, is the person who's going to execute the power of attorney, do they have the capacity, the mental capacity to sign it? Will they know what they're signing? Will they know, you know, what they're doing? And she was kind of iffy. Well, I don't think so. You know, she said, well, so at that point, it's too late. So in one instance, you know, an outside circumstance prevented it. And in another instance, the individual has lost the capacity to grant the power of attorney to someone else, which is the whole reason why you want to do it to begin with. And so, you know, the simple answer is to get your affairs in order, get it done. I mean, and it happens. I mean, people have strokes unexpectedly. They have aneurysms. They have all these different things that could affect the way they are able to think or handle their affairs without, you know, necessarily being well up in years and losing their mental facility. So, it's just a good idea to get it done, and it's very, very inexpensive. We have that will package we combine with a will and a power of attorney and a living will that basically is your advance directive to the doctors to pull the plug in the event that you're on some sort of life support, you're being kept alive artificially.
And with your last illness.
Well, I'm just saying, so, you know, get those three things done. Like I said, it's a very, very inexpensive process. Now, you know, if you have a Tom Benson will, obviously that's going to cost a little more. But if the traditional, you know, we call it spouse in a house, or even, you know, an individual or just married couples, no kids, I mean, it's very, very inexpensive.
Yeah, like your will would be like a Tom Benson will, right? I mean, that it would be something where you got, you know, to handle all your properties and your estate on fishing.
You know, actually, you say that it just because you have a lot of assets. I mean, if you're leaving them all to your two kids,
it's easy, 50-50.
It's pretty easy. You know, if you want to get into a trust and you have issues that we've talked about, I think on the last program with, you know, somebody with special needs or somebody with spending problems or addiction problems that you want to give them their money and have a trustee kind of monitor it, then that's a whole different ballgame, and that's a little more complicated, a little more expensive, but it's still well worth it.
Now, one of the things we were talking about, when you do say 50-50, one thing that I've come across with some of the more sophisticated wills or with estates is you might have a, you know, someone with a lot of maybe rental property or, you know, some ongoing businesses. And what has happened is They have maybe left it to two children. One is a participant in the building business, and one of them is not. And even though, you know, that 50-50 seems equitable, it's usually not more times than not, it doesn't work out, because if you have a participant and a non-participant, okay. Well, I guess we got 30 seconds. We're still doing this remotely, but I'm going to talk about that in a second. We're going to go to the bottom of hour news.
A little early.
Yeah, we're going to go to the bottom of hour news, and then we'll be back in about 2 minutes. But I want to talk about, you know, if you have two siblings. Hey, we're back. Doug Cesari, Albert Nico, your weekend lawyers, all things legal. I just wanted to finish my thought, and then we're going to go to Vernon on the line regarding a nursing home issue. Is that if you have siblings and you live in rental property or some kind of ongoing business concern, one's involved in that ongoing concern and one's not, it's usually not a good idea to leave it to both of them, because there seems to be problems when you have a participant in the business or a rental property or some type of ongoing concern and non-participant, because the participant gets resentful that the non-participant doesn't work, and the non-participant thinks the participant is getting over on them, and it ends up causing more problems than it solves. But that's one of the things that's, you know, part of when you draft in a will, not only do you figure out how to allocate things, but you try to look at the unintended consequences in the future so that you don't have conflict in the future. But I just wanted to finish my thought on that. Let's go to Vernon on the line. Vernon's got a question regarding nursing homes. Hey, Vernon, you're in All Things Legal with Doug Cesari and Albanico.
Hey, so I read an interesting article about nursing home eviction and how they've been trying to, certain nursing homes in certain parts of the country have been trying to evict patients for more profitable COVID patients. And I was just wondering if maybe you could talk in general about if that happens in Louisiana and if there's an appeal process or anything. And I'll take the answer off the air. Thank you all.
Well, you know, that's an interesting thing, because typically we come across the nursing home issue when a person runs out of money and the Medicaid, the long-term Medicaid's not enough to cover the cost or the monthly costs. And it's not like your typical eviction where you can evict someone and then they go find another place to live. It's a very, very difficult process, because maybe in those situations, the nursing home's very, they try to persuade, you know, family members to take their loved one to another place, but they really can't put them out, so to speak, on the streets involuntarily. So it's a sticky position. But I haven't, Albert, have you come across any nursing homes trying to evict based on trying to get a more high paying COVID patients or anything like that?
No, I haven't. I don't know why a nursing home would really do that. It's going to be a short term thing. I mean, I would rather, I mean, just for, I mean, I actually represented nursing homes years ago, and I know them, you know, most of those owners to be, you know, very upstanding, caring people that want to care for their patients. And, you know, but even from a financial standpoint, it makes more sense to have a patient that you can treat for a longer period of time, whereas, you know, COVID patients that went through the nursing homes, a lot of those patients died. And so, you know, you might get a little short-term bump in payment, which I'm not even sure is correct, but maybe,
yeah,
it is.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah.
Yeah, and so if you know, you might get a short-term bump in revenue, but in the long term, it doesn't make sense. And then all of a sudden, you know, if the thing spreads,
right,
more and more of your patients might be gone, right? So that doesn't make sense to me, but yeah, it could have happened. I don't know.
Yeah, and now one of the interesting things we talked about last week was And this is anecdotal. We're not saying this has happened. We're just saying what we see. and people to keep this in mind. I think it's been, it's an undisputed fact that a high, there's a disparity of people or a disproportion of people who have died from COVID in nursing homes as opposed to the rest of society. That's a given. But some of the anecdote, this is just anecdotal. I'm just saying what we see. And we've had several successions of people who have died in the last two or three months in nursing home situation, that sort of thing. And they were in end-stage cancer, end-stage congestive heart failure, and, you know, end-stage terminal disease.
In hospice, yeah.
Yeah, in hospice. And then they did get COVID, and they were classified as death by COVID. Okay. So that's just, you know, that's just anecdotal, and I'm not saying it just needs to, you know, it's just is what it is, but, you know, that's how they did it, or how they reported it. So let's go to a break. Doug Cinceri, Albert Nico, your weekend lawyers, all things legal. We'll be right back after this brief time out. That's
our text, WWL 504-260-1870.
We're back. Doug Cinceri, Albert Nico, your weekend lawyer, is making the complex understandable. And that's what we try to do. See, a lot of lawyers are saying their motto is never use one word when it doesn't will suffice. But we try to get to the point. You know, Albert, we're talking about power of attorneys. And I think one of the things is, and what you get to talk about is, if you have an event where you might have a parent or a family member who has a stroke or some type of situation where they don't have the cognitive capacity to make their own decisions, and there's not a power of attorney, what is the alternative if you don't have a power of attorney and certain decisions have to be made? The expensive alternative?
Well, it's an expensive alternative. It's an alternative where you have to go to the court. You have to get a treating physician involved. And, you know, quite often against the parent or, you know, aunt, uncle, whomever, quite often against their consent, but you have to go in and have them interdicted, or basically it's a curatorship where you would go in and handle their affairs and the court would have to direct that. And quite often, you know, parents will have lucid moments where they're able to understand things at least to a degree, and they become very paranoid, and they become, you know, very scared that they're going to lose their freedom and independence and have one of their children who they have raised all their lives now all of a sudden direct them and call the shots. And you know, when you're in a state where you understand those things and you're planning for those things and knowing that that's going to happen one day, then you're okay with it. But then when you're in a situation where you really may have some dementia, all of a sudden that becomes very scary. And it seems like your child or children are looking to take over for you and leave you without any say-so in your affairs. And so, there are a lot of moving parts when you try to do an interdiction for someone. And, you know, you might have a sibling that doesn't want to. You know, they might want to be the person in charge and not you. And maybe there's an estate involved. And, you know, so many things that, you know, why are you going to be in charge? I want to be in charge. And so you just avoid all that if you have a power of attorney executed properly.
And one of the reasons people ask, why is interdiction so expensive? Well, one of the reasons is, in a lot of interdictions, if the person is to be interdicted doesn't have an attorney, you have to pay for their attorney. You have to put a large deposit into the court, and they'll apply, and then the court will appoint a court appointed attorney to represent the interdict's interests. And also, too often, if it's contested as to whether the interdict has the cognitive capacity to understand the decisions that he is making, then often you'd have to also pay for an independent medical examination by a geriatric physician appointed by the court. So that's about $4,000 or $5,000 out the door right there. To have those two components. Now, you know, it's interesting to say interdicts. I told this story before. When I was at LSU and I was in charge of one of the supervisors for the intramural program, we had 250, 300 flag football teams. And the law school team, which called themselves the Interdicts. And so when the name came across my desk, I said, no, you can't have that. That's a nasty word. And so I rejected it. And next thing you knew, I had about 10 law students coming in, you know, very persuasively, and I would say almost obnoxiously, telling me that that was not a curse word. And they explained to me what it was. And ever since then, I knew what that was. But I will say that it's like a conservatorship. One of the interesting parts about an interdiction is, at what point does a person cross the line where they don't understand the consequences of their decisions? Because bad decisions doesn't mean you necessarily don't understand the consequences of it. For example, if you had, you know, mom and dad were married for 55 years and mom dies and dad's maybe in his 80s or, you know, and he's, and like I've said before, you know, at that age, men want to be fed and they want to be dressed. And they want to be taken care of. That's their number one priority. Remember that, children, before you. So then maybe he meets someone who's half their age. And says, and all of a sudden he wants to give his entire estate over to her. I'm just using this as an example, just anecdotal. And, you know, even though, and people, you know, I'll have children come in this situation and say, hey, my dad's making some bad decisions here. You know, he's about to, you know, give away his estate to someone he hardly knows. And the decision, you know, in some cases, a court may say, that's a really dumb decision that he's making. It's not good. It doesn't make sense. It's not the, you know, it's probably morally not the right thing to do. But he knows he's making a bad decision. So therefore, he's not, you know, we would decline to, you know, interdict him or get involved in this situation. In some situations, that could be the case. And he really doesn't understand what he's doing. But it's hard to determine when do you cross the line to where you don't understand what you're doing and the court would come in and interdict versus just some bad decisions. But let's go to a break. Doug Sinceri, Albert Nico, your weekend lawyers, all things legal. We'll be right back after this brief time out. Hey, we're back. Doug Sinceri, Albert Nico, your weekend lawyers, all things legal. Give us a call at 260-1870 or can't text us yet. We're going to get the text up pretty soon. But, Albert, we were talking about power of attorneys. There's a lot of situations where, you know, practical situations that you may want to have a power of attorney if you have, or a situation if you don't where it could inhibit you. For example, let's say you're older, maybe an older couple, and you're ready to downsize, and your husband or wife, you know, has some type of medical condition where they can't sign. You know, they can't execute any type of legal documents and they want to downsize the house and sell the house. And in that situation, you wouldn't be able to sell the house in absence of a power of attorney or interdiction. You could.
That's correct. Yeah. And I mean, there's just a lot of considerations. And it just makes sense to do that. And even when you select who that agent is going to be, obviously it's very easy with a married couple. They will select each other and then they'll select an alternate. So that way, you know, the power of attorney can continue beyond the death of one of the spouses. And so that's an important decision to make, you know, who is the most financially responsible, who is going to govern this, you know, with their intellect more so than their emotion. And the same holds true with the executor or executrix that may be selected in your will. You want someone that can actually handle the affairs. You know, if you have rental property you have to deal with, if you have a small business, you know, usually the business documentation kind of decides what happens with that, but that executor or executrix is going to stand in your shoes until those decisions are made. So you need someone to pay the bills, to gather the assets, and that person needs to be competent in handling those types of things. And also, you want to, you know, sometimes if everybody seems to be pretty competent, practically, you just want to have somebody who's close, somebody who lives in town. It's, you know, it's easier to inspect assets and do things that you need to do when you're here. You know, if something comes up, if the house kind of needs to be refurbished a little bit before you put it up for sale, then obviously you'd want someone locally that can meet contractors here and do those types of things, assess the situation. So, you know, it's just an important decision, and you can make the decision. You just got to choose to do it and not have your kids fight over it one day, whether it is an interdiction proceeding and who's going to take care of mom or dad's affairs while they're alive, and then even so after they're gone. So it just makes sense to get it done. And it, like I said, it's just very reasonable in terms of cost.
Now, also, if you're the agent for a powers of attorney, you know, if you're the agent for the principal, you have a duty, a fiduciary duty to that principal to spend that money wisely, in the sense that, you know, you don't have free reign to do whatever you want with that money. It has to be, you know, you have a fiduciary duty. And, you know, you have to, you know, you cannot, for example, we had a case recently where we had a lady who was in her 90s. And she was pretty much homebound, and it was interesting to, and they had charges at the casinos on the Mississippi coast, and so you know, the judge was curious as to why would a homebound 90 some odd year old lady having charges on the you know, at the casino, and that was a little bit hard to explain for the agent at that particular time. So he didn't take kindly to that, and the person had to pay the money back and had some other problems with it. So we're going to go to a break. We're going to national news, local news. We finished hour number one of All Things Legal. We're on till 10 o'clock. So stay tuned. In about 10 minutes, we'll start hour number two. See you then.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.